This amazing grace. Por lo que hiciste en mí, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, worthy is the King who conquered the grave, digno es el Cordero de Dios, digno es el Rey que la muerte venció, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, worthy is the King who conquered the Cordero de Dios, digno, worthy, digno. This is amazing grace. This is the coming love that you will take my place, that you will bear my cross. Tu vida diste ahí. En mí. Thank you, Lord, for taking our place in the cross. Christ is enough. No turning back.
a seat. Thank you, Juan, and the worship team. Well, this evening we're going to use a lot of scripture. We're going to read through some scripture together. We're going to do a lot more singing, and then later on we're going to take communion. And so I'm going to begin by reading Luke 22, verses 1 through 23. Luke 22, 1 through 23. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put him to death, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and sought an opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of a crowd. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there." And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this.
Amen. Let's continue praising our God. And our God is worthy of honor and glory. And all our praises. So let's stand and sing our next worship song.
Above
grande por siempre es tu mundo, tú eres mi
Continuing in Luke 22, verses 24 through 46. A dispute also rose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, "The king of the Gentiles exercised lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as the one who serves. For who is the greater, the one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as the one who serves. You are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign to you, as my father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Peter said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me." And he said to them, "When I sent you out with no money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything?" They said, "Nothing." And he said to them, "But now let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a knapsack. And let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors. For what is written about me has its fulfillment. And they said, look, Lord, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation.
It's just amazing as we sing our next song. It's just amazing how many times we have failed our God, right? We continue making mistakes, but even like that, with our mistakes, he still loves us. He still holds to us whenever we need him. And as we sing our next song, just praise and sing with us.
When I fear my fate will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter will prevail, he will hold me fast. Like a
Well, I'll pick up the story in verse 47, the betrayal and arrest of Jesus. While he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" And when those who were around him saw what would follow, they said, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched the ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple and elders who had come out against him, "Have you come out against us, against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." Peter denies Jesus. Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, "Certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Jesus is mocked. Now the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him as they beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, "Prophesy, who is that that struck you?" And they said many other things against him, blaspheming him. Jesus before the council. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people gathered together, both chief priests and scribes. And they led him away to their council. And they said, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God." So they all said, "Are you the Son of God then?" And he said to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips."
Let's continue worshiping our God. He's our King.
Amazing love, how can it be?
Luke 23:1-25. Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation, and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. And Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then, arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this they had been at enmity with each other. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." But they all cried out together, "Away with this man and release to us Barabbas," a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, "Crucify, crucify him." A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will.
Stand up and continue worshiping your God. Above all power,
sin amor, con el amor que pisas al andar, murió por mí, pensó en mí, mi Señor. Like a rose, trembled on the ground, you took the
crucifixion. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by, watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, 'He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' There was also an inscription over him, 'This is the King of the Jews.' One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And he said to him, 'Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.' It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, 'Certainly this man was innocent.' And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all of his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching all these things. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath day, they rested according to the commandment.
Let's continue praising our God.
Friends, I can't think of a better place that I'd rather be than with my family celebrating Jesus' death. And as we stand here, I would imagine, like me, there's probably a mix of emotions, right? Some of the emotions are tremendous sadness and sorrow that our Savior had to die because of our rebellion and wickedness. And yet, there's also these emotions of joy and gladness and delight that he would willingly die in spite of our wickedness to restore us to himself. Hallelujah, what a Savior, right? And so, as we come and we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, it's good to remember that we are here, and this meal, if you will, is for followers of Jesus Christ. It's for people who have recognized their desperate need for Jesus in light of their sin and their deserving of his righteous and eternal punishment, and yet have eternal life and joy and satisfaction in him because of what he's done for them. And so, friend, if you are here this evening and that's not you, you are not a follower of Jesus, I have great news for you. God really likes family. And so there is room for more people at his table to celebrate this. And so if all of the believers in this room were able to come and stand together, here's what we collectively would tell you. But because that could be a little awkward, I'm going to tell you on their behalf. What we would tell you is that God created you and made you for life and for relationship and to worship and honor him, but you willingly chose to go elsewhere. You chose to worship other things, or you chose to worship an aspect of God that's not truly all of who God is. And so we would take you to a book like Romans, and we would look at chapter 1 and show you that God has clearly revealed himself to you so that you are without excuse. Because he's revealed himself in the things that he's made, and he's revealed himself to us in a book, but specifically in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. We would also tell you that because of your disobedience and because of your rebellion and because of you dishonoring God with your words and your thoughts and your actions, that you are deserving of judgment and punishment eternally because you've sinned against a perfectly eternal, glorious, great, and holy God. We would take you to verses like Romans chapter 3, where it says that there is no one who seeks for God, where it says that there is no one who is righteous, where it says that our standard is God himself, and we don't meet up to that standard, or as the verse says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You might be like, Josh, I thought you said there was good news coming. Well, there is good news coming. Have you ever asked yourself this question about God? If God really loves me, I would love to see him prove it to me. That's a great question. And I'm here to tell you, he has. In fact, if we were looking at that same book of Romans, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, but God demonstrated or proved or shown his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friend, think about the most guilty and gross you've ever felt in your life. It's at that moment that Jesus died for you in your place. That's a love that we can't fathom or understand, and yet that's the kind of love that God has for us in Christ. And so we would tell you that Jesus came as God, and he took on human flesh, fully God, truly man. And he lived a perfect life in your place, obeying God's word, fulfilling God's law on your behalf, earning you a right standing and a right relationship with God through his life. But he also died. That's what we just read about moments ago. He died in your place as your substitute. You deserve to die that death. You deserve to bear that punishment. You are guilty. You deserve that judgment. But Jesus took on that punishment and that guilt in your place for you. And in doing that, he paid sin's penalty, so you don't have to clean yourself up to get to God. Jesus cleaned you up already for you. Hallelujah. And then, even though it is Good Friday, Jesus is actually alive. We don't have to wait till Sunday to celebrate that. So he actually rose from the dead, which is proof that Jesus is who he said he was, God, Savior, King, Judge, and that the sacrifice that he made for your sin has been paid in full. So it's not Jesus plus you equals eternal life. It's Jesus equals eternal life. And so, friend, your response to that tonight, right now, is to trust in Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection to save you from your sin. Romans 6:23 says that that salvation that he gives you is a free gift from him to you. And your response is to believe. And friends, if you believe and you trust in Jesus to save you from your sin, then guess what? We would love for you to celebrate this meal with us today, because we are in joy and gladness celebrating what Jesus has done for us. And so, as we think about this together, let's rip off that top seal and let's eat this bread. This wafer and this juice just symbolizes Jesus' body and blood, which was broken and shed for us in our place. We read this already, but we will read it again. This is what Jesus said, Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 16. He says, "For I tell you, I won't eat it, this supper, until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I won't drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And then he said this, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So friends, as we eat this wafer, let's remember what Christ did for us on our behalf. Now let's remove that second layer, which has the cup. This is also what Jesus said in Luke chapter 22. He said in verse 20, it says, "And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, he said, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" Friends, because of Jesus' death in our place, we are united to him. We're united to him. Let's drink this, celebrating that together. You know, after they celebrated the Lord's Supper together, before they left, they sang together. And that's what we are going to do together. And I would encourage you, this could be an opportunity for you just for some reflection. You could pray as you're listening to the song and just worship your Savior for who he is and what he's done. You can sing out loud to him. You can just look at the words. You can do all three. But let's together worship and celebrate what our Savior has done together.
For love for us, and we can celebrate up to this day, Lord, that we have a hope that you're going to be coming back, Lord, for us. Until that day comes, we're going to continue being faithful to you, Lord. We're going to continue spreading the word, the gospel, Lord. We're going to continue reaching all those people, Lord, who have been hurt, Lord. We want to share how a great amazing God that you are, Lord. Thank you for everything. We just want to thank you, Lord. We don't want to be the center. We want to be, Lord. We want you to be the center of our lives. We want you, Lord, to be the one guiding our lives, Lord. Thank you for this, Lord. Thank you because we have the opportunity of sharing as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord. In your glorious name, Lord, we just want to say thank you, and we worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here today. We'll see you on Sunday for Easter. Amen.